Hey, welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. Back in 2008, we recorded a new recording of one of the lost series from I Love a Mystery by Carlton E. Morris. So here we've got episode 1 of Terror of Frozen Corpse Lodge.
American Radio Theater presents I Love a Mystery. A new Carlton E. Morse adventure thriller, Terror of Frozen Corpse Lodge.
Five o'clock in the lowering dusk of a frozen evening on a snow-packed horse and sleigh road on the crest of the Coast Range Mountain en route to the Irving Stark Hunting Lodge. The same morning Jack, Doc, and Reggie completed the case of the Underground Passage and the China Doll in Vancouver, B.C., they received a telegram from Jerry Booker, their gorgeous secretary back in their Hollywood office, which said, J. Irving Stark has a lodge high up in the snow on the California-Nevada line. He also has a beautiful daughter, Gail. Gail has asked them up to the snow lodge for the weekend. Hurry, because Gail says murder is following her around. The last three men who kissed her died within 24 hours. And the boys did hurry. By prearrangement, they met Jerry Booker and Gail Stark in Reno, and here they separated from Reggie York. It was Reggie's job to hold down the Hollywood office while the others were away. Jack and Doc and the two girls transferred to a little, narrow-gauge, jerkwater railway, relic of some prehistoric mining operations, which took them high in the backcountry to Sulphur Summit, the end of the line. And here they found P.O. waiting in the freezing cold of the snow-swept desolation. P.O. and a big, roomy sleigh drawn by three horses, one in front and two at the traces. P.O. was Spanish, or Mexican, or something. Anyway, he was a caretaker of Frozen Corpse Lodge during the winter and guide during the hunting season. And so here is P.O. beside the sleigh to greet the arrivals as they descend from the one-car train.
Doggone, if this ain't the silliest train I ever been on yet.
We love it. We call it our Toonerville Pride. Oh, watch out when you go down the stairs, Mr. Long.
Hey, Miss Stark, do I have to be called Mr. Long all weekend?
Okay, Doc, how's that?
Swell. What was that you're about to say? Hey, up to my knees in snow.
That's what I was going to tell you. Be careful when you descend the car steps as the loose snow drifts up against the station platform.
Boy, man sure needs to keep his pit boots in this country. Hoo-wee!
If you look carefully, you can tell where the packed snow is so you won't break through.
Yeah, I can see now. How about me giving you a hand?
Oh, don't bother. I'm used to this. Well, I wonder where P.O. and the sleigh are.
P.O.?
Yes, he's Daddy's caretaker up here. Oh, there he is. Hi, P.O. Come and give us a hand.
Oh, si, senorita.
Mexican, huh?
Well, sometimes. Sometimes he talks perfectly good down-to-earth American. Where's Mr. Packard? I thought he was right behind us.
Jack? Don't know. Where's Jerry Booker? Better go back to the car and see what's the matter with them. Be right back.
Okay, I'll get P.O. to pack in the luggage in the sleigh.
Yeah, okay. Hey, Jack, what the heck are you and Jerry? Hey! What the heck's going on here anyway? Who is this guy?
I caught this lug trying to sneak my purse when we were getting our stuff together.
Oh, hey, it's all a mistake.
No mistake at all. Sit down until you're told to get up.
Hey, you take your hands off my throat so I could talk.
We don't want to hear you talk.
Just a plain durn sneak thief, huh?
Yeah, looks like it.
Yeah, well, what you gonna do with him? Ain't nothing here for miles around up but the little Sulphur Summit station up yonder. Nitz, shut up.
We could send him back to civilization in charge of the train crew.
Aw, that's a lot of bother. Why don't you just let him go?
Yeah, I agree with Jerry, Jack. He's more trouble than he's worth, long as he didn't get anything.
What I'd like to know is what he's doing on this train anyway.
Huh?
Didn't Miss Stark say there wasn't anything up here at the end of the line except for a father's lodge?
Yeah, in the wintertime, that's all.
Oh, yeah. It's the only passenger on the train besides us. What did you come up here for anyhow, sport?
Oh, that's what I've been trying to tell you, if you wouldn't keep choking me.
Now's your chance.
I'm the new butler.
New butler?
New butler for what?
For the Stark Lodge.
Oh, that's a lot of baloney.
Oh, it's the truth. I'm Jones.
I think so.
Mr. J. Irving Stark called into an employment agency in Reno yesterday and asked for a butler.
Doc?
Yeah?
Go ask Miss Stark to come back in here.
Okay.
Yeah, how about that? Why didn't Gail Stark know about you? She had plenty of chances, seeing you sitting across the aisle from us all the way up here.
Well, don't ask me any questions, lady. All I know is I'm the new butler.
Great start you're making, trying to steal from one of your employer's guests.
I wasn't trying to steal.
Hey, don't give me that line. I guess I know when I'm being robbed.
The lady is mistaken.
You're full of balloon juice, mister.
Here they are down here, Miss Stark.
Yeah, come up here, Gail. Take a look at this candidate for the ball and chain.
Doc said he tried to rob you.
Check.
Look, lady, are you J. Irving Stark's daughter?
That's right.
Well, my name's Jones. I'm the new butler.
New butler? Well, that's crazy.
No, ma'am. I'm the new butler. Your father phoned into Reno from the lodge yesterday, and the agency's sending me out.
But what happened to Mansfield?
Mansfield?
Yes, he's been Dad's butler for 35 years. Why, Dad would as soon do without Mansfield as he would his right arm.
Don't ask me, lady. All I know is...
Yes, we know all that. Do you think he's telling the truth, Miss Stark?
Well, it sounds awfully funny. Mansfield and Dad left Hollywood for the lodge on Tuesday, and everything was all right then. Of course, something could have gone wrong, I suppose. Oh, hey, wait a minute.
Hey, what's the matter?
Pio. We'll get Pio in here. He just came from the lodge not more than 2 hours ago.
Who's Pio?
He's the caretaker to come for us with the sleigh. I'll go bring him in.
He's loading the luggage in the sleigh.
Yeah, I'll round him up.
It's all on the up and up, lady. Just like I told you.
Well, even if Dad does want a new butler, I don't think he wants you.
How can you say a thing like that,
well,
lady?
Well, if you go around robbing guests...
Lady, I'm innocent. The young lady's mistaken, and that's all there is about it.
I caught you with my purse in your hands, didn't I?
Oh, well, of course you did.
Well, that's enough for me.
Well, you dropped it on the floor. I picked it up to give it to you.
Nuts.
Yeah, right in here, Pio. Miss Stark wants to see you for a minute.
Funny thing, she wants me in this place.
Pio.
Oh, there you are calling, senorita. Do you not know the horses get cold standing so long in the snow?
Yes, I know, Pio.
Well, for goodness sakes, then why do you keep them standing in snow? That is not the thing to do. Do you think so, senorita?
Pio, listen to me.
I am listening. That is what a man always do, listen to a woman. That is why I am caretaker high up in these mountains. I bet you, so I do not listen to women so much.
Pio.
See?
Now keep still and listen.
See?
You see this man before?
See? But I have never seen this senor before, I think.
Of course you haven't. He says that he's the new butler.
No butler? I don't know.
Does father call for him yesterday?
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, for goodness sake, you do know whether there's anything the matter with Mansfield, don't you?
I don't know. Mansfield, she's getting very old.
Of course he's old. He's been old for years. But so are you old.
Senorita, that is insult.
Look, Pio.
Who is this man? I do not know him, I tell you, either.
This is Mr. Packard, and this is Mr. Long. They're my guests, along with Miss Jerry Booker here.
Ah, senorita. She is most beautiful.
Pio.
Yeah, that's me, the caretaker's delight.
Pio, this is important. Did Mr. Stark tell you that you were to bring out a new butler to the lodge?
Maybe.
What do you mean, maybe?
I do not pay much attention to anything anybody say.
But if Mr. Stark said, Pio, you will go to the station and pick up Miss Stark and three guests, and besides that, be sure to pick up the new butler. If he said that to you, you'd remember it, wouldn't you?
See?
Of course you would. Well, did he say that?
No, senor. But also, he did not say to pick up Senorita and tres guests.
He didn't?
No.
Then who did tell you to meet the train?
Mansfield said go to Sulphur Summit with Big Slay and meet Senorita. This I do. And now, why we do not get started? Because horses get cold.
I give up. What do you want to do, Miss Stark?
Well, what is there to do? Take him along. If Dad telephoned to Reno for him, he'll be pretty hot under the collar if we turn up without him.
All right, Jones, come along.
Naturally, I'll come along.
Is all the baggage in the sleigh, Pio?
Si, senorita, all is ready. 1/2 hour, all is ready.
Doggone. Independent as a hog on ice. Go ahead, you girls. Follow him. Jack and I'll be right behind you with Jones here.
Oh, come on, Jerry. You'll enjoy the sleigh ride.
My first big snow since I was in rompers.
Those your suitcases?
They are.
Bring them. And come on.
Look out the window of this car, Jack. This is real snow country. Mountain peaks are sticking up like upside-down icicles.
Yeah. Okay, down the steps with you.
Yeah. Careful where you step or you'll be in snow up to your hip.
Woo! Whee!
Oh, see what I mean?
I see.
Oh, I thought sure I was stepping on the packed down snow that time.
If you'll just follow the tracks the young ladies made going over to the sleigh, you'll be safe enough.
Yes, let's try it.
Doggone. That's the second time I've been in snow up to the seat of my pants. Getting to feel like a pecan in a nut sundae.
Hey, what's keeping you?
We're coming.
Well, step on it. Pio says his horses are catching double pneumonia.
Hey, Jack. Don't you think maybe Jerry Booker's getting a little bit frisky for a private secretary?
Jerry's Jerry, and there's not much you can do about her.
Well, I can try, can't I?
You can try what?
Putting a certain detective agency's private secretary in her place.
Oh, yeah? Well, just remember one thing. If a boss keeps his place, his secretary doesn't have much trouble keeping hers.
Mama Diablo, talk of the talk of the talk.
Now, Pio, don't get temperamental.
I tell you this, Senorita Gale. If everybody do not get into sleigh this minute, I drive off without them. I leave them stand right here in snow.
Doggone. Don't even talk fierce. Them's three doggone fine horses you got there, Pio.
For certainty, they're fine horses, senor. They're the best. Whoa, holy. Stand still, you horses.
All right, Jones.
Yes, ma'am.
You get up in front with Pio. Doc, will you and Jerry get in the middle seat?
Okay. In you go, Sugarfoot.
Hey, Doc, cut that out.
Just helping you into the sleigh, beautiful.
Some red-headed Texan is too fresh for his own good.
Do Jerry and Doc always put on an act like that?
Always. May I help you in?
Yes. We'll occupy the back seat. There. Thanks. All right, Pio.
Yep. Hip there.
Doggone, Jack. Ain't this elegant? Straw on the floor to keep your feet warm and fur rugs to tuck in around you. What kind of fur you reckon this is, huh?
I don't know.
Hippinoceros fur, maybe. How about it, Sugarfoot? Want a snuggle?
No, I don't want a snuggle.
Oh, you don't want a snuggle?
No.
But you gotta do it in this kind of weather. Everybody does or else they freeze.
I don't want a snuggle.
Okay, have it your way, sister. Don't expect me to unthaw you. I hope you chip off a large piece.
Isn't Doc wonderful?
You're rather a wonderful person yourself, Miss Stark.
Why do you say that?
Well, Jerry sent us a telegram asking us to come on this trip because you were in trouble.
Yes. Yes, I am.
This message said murder was following you around.
But that's what it seems like. Every way I turn, something dreadful happens to the men with whom I come into any sort of social contact.
It makes it rather dangerous for Doc and me, doesn't it?
Yes, but
You what?
Well, I thought you were detectives. You'd be able to find out what it is. Put a stop to it.
Jerry's message said the last three men who had kissed you died within 24 hours.
Yes.
And yet, you haven't seemed to me like a girl with the shadow of death hanging over you.
Well, what do you expect me to do? Live with that? Because I've tried to get away from it. Forget it. Am I to be censored? I'm asking for your help, not your criticism.
So tell me about those three men who died.
Each of them was shot to death by the police.
By the police?
Yes. In each case, every move was identical. Each one walked into a liquor store at 15 minutes past midnight, said, "This is a stick-up," and pulled out a gun.
What kind of people have you been letting kiss you?
Wait a minute. And in each case, the police had been tipped off beforehand, and a shotgun squad was hiding behind the counter, and I killed my friend on the spot.
Resisted arrest, huh?
Well, as I said, each one had a gun in his hand.
Yeah, that's a queer story.
It's a hideous story.
These men must have belonged to a gang.
A gang? They were young men I've grown up with from childhood. I know each one as well as I know my own father. They were my own social set. It was from these men that I expected to someday choose a husband. That is, until...
Yes?
Until Bruce Garrett came along.
Now, you're going to marry this, Garrett?
Yes.
Tell me something about him.
How can you describe a man like Bruce, except that he's many times a millionaire and has the blackest eyes and the blackest hair and the whitest skin you ever saw?
That's quite a description right there. But why that tone of voice? I thought you said you were going to marry him.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I'd like very much to meet this Bruce Garrett.
You can't help it. He's at the hunting lodge with Father right now.
This has been a presentation of a lost old-time radio show by American Radio Theater. I Love a Mystery was written by Carlton E. Morris. This was Book 25, Terror at Frozen Corpse Lodge. Directed by Marge Lutton, assisted by Greg Porter, and produced by Joy Jackson. In our cast, you heard Cole Hornaday as Jack Packard, Renaud LaBeouf as Doc Long, with Joy Jackson as Jerry Booker, Melinda Maines as Gail Stark, Michael Moki O'Reilly as Pio, Greg Porter as A.J. Ben and the narrator, Dan Schindler as J. Irving Stark, Kim Turner as Mansfield, and Richard Haviland as Tuffy. Thanks also to Harry Thiel and Mike Wheeler. Live sound effects by Penny Swanberg and Marilyn Wilt. Music by Kevin McLeod at Incompetech.com. Terror at Frozen Corpse Lodge was originally broadcast May 22 to June 14, 1951. I'm Pat McNally, whom you also heard as Bruce Garrett and Jones the Butler. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Let's listen to Episode 2 of Carlton Morris's Terror of Frozen Corpse Lodge.
American Radio Theater presents I Love a Mystery.
Six o'clock in the lowering dusk of a frozen evening on a snow-packed horse and sleigh road on the crest of the Coast Range Mountains en route to Frozen Corpse Lodge, private hunting retreat of J. Irving Stark. Gail, Stark's daughter and personal friend of Jerry Booker, has invited Jerry, Jack, and Doc up to the mountains for a weekend. However, this trip wasn't entirely for pleasure. Three of Gail's personal friends, men she had grown up with from childhood, have died tragically, each one within 24 hours after having kissed her. each walked into a liquor store 15 minutes after midnight, pulled a gun, and was shot to death by a police shotgun squad, which had been tipped off and was hiding behind the counter. Gale insists they were not criminals, and that something sinister and deadly is being enacted, that all her friends are being made victims of some cold-blooded program. An added mystery to the situation was the unexpected appearance on the train of a man named Jones, whom Jerry claims tried to steal her purse. He denies this and insists he is the new butler hired through an agency in Reno by Mr. Stark. A new butler hired while the old family butler is alive and in good health? Well, maybe. But here they are, approaching the mountain lodge deep in the snow by sleigh.
Hiya, Hep there!
Hey, Jack, looking over yonder. I see lights.
Yes, I see them.
Ooh, well, that's Frozen Corp Lodge.
Doggone, you don't say. I thought that was some kind of a hotel.
No.
Sure is big enough.
Oh, no, it's just Father's Honey Lodge.
Man, oh man, what a weekend this is going to be.
Well, I see you finally broke Jerry down and got her to snuggle.
Sure, it's the way a man's got to be. Stronger than a woman.
Bowie.
Well, what's that you say, Sugar?
Oh, you heard me. It was easier to give in than argue about it.
Well, that's being stronger, ain't it? I'll wore you down.
Hey, will you stop flapping your arms around and letting cold air in under the covers?
Okay, woman, don't fuss. So dark? I don't know how P.O. sees us keep the sleigh on the road.
Oh, P.O.'s an old hand at night driving. Besides, the horses know the road home.
Hey, what's that wet I feel on my face?
What's that? Uh-oh, it started to snow. P.O., P.O., can you hear me?
See? I hear you, all right.
It started to snow.
See, one big storm. She's coming up.
You mean it's going to storm over the weekend?
See, big storm. Big snow!
But that's gonna spoil all the skating and skiing and hunting. Everything!
Mama Diablo, am I to blame? Talk of the talk of the talk. Why they do not cut out the tongue of every newborn female child, I do not know.
Boy, P.O. does hate women. Almost as much as I love him from the way he talks.
What do you mean, women?
Don't worry, Sugarfoot. Only one at a time.
We'll be at the lodge in a minute now, right around the hill and through those trees over there.
It's been a very interesting ride.
Look, please understand if I'm upbeat. Well, that's what I am by nature. These horrible things sweep over me naturally and make me sick and scared, but sometimes I can throw them off for a little while and laugh again.
Which is what you should do, of course.
Then you will try to help me?
Yes. As soon as we get back to Los Angeles, we'll give the matter our full attention.
Thank you. So over the weekend, we can forget it and have fun, even in spite of the storm.
I'm definitely in favor of it.
Oh, thank you. Jerry said you were a nice person, but she didn't say how nice. Not by half.
Another thing I'm interested in finding out about is Jones.
Yes. He sat up front straight as a poker the whole trip without a word. Oh, here we come up under the portico.
Whoa! Whoa, my little one!
I've gone, what a place. Come right in under the porch to unload.
Well, everybody out.
Come on, Jerry. Out you come.
Hey, Doc, got it. Stop jerking me around. Next time, you'll be dragging me around by the hair, caveman style.
Well, I get you around, honey. Doggone. Look at the way this place is all lighted up.
Help you out?
Thank you. P.O., get the baggage unloaded right away.
Si, senorita. What I do with this Senor Jones?
Take Jones around to the servants' quarters. Oh, here you are, Mansfield.
Miss Gale, welcome to the lodge. Yes, indeed, thrice welcome.
Are you feeling all right, Mansfield?
Feeling all right? Certainly I'm feeling all right. A big storm is brewing, and we were fearful lest you might not get through.
Oh, sure. It's not snowing hard enough yet.
That's good, Miss Gale. Very good.
Oh, by the way, Mansfield, this is Jones.
And who is Jones, miss?
I'm the new butler.
New butler? I'm the new butler. Pio, my man.
See?
Pio, take this person to the back way and keep him there. New butler over my dead body.
I demand to see Mr. J. Irving Stark.
Take him away, P.O., take him away, and then come and help me with the luggage. Miss Gale, your father and Mr. Garrett are waiting to receive your guests in the tap room.
Okay. Come on, guests. Come on in. Mansfield take care of the door.
I think he'll also take care of Jones.
Yes, I think so.
Hey, this is a cute idea. Matting on the floors.
Uh-huh. Can't have carpets in a hunting lodge, but matting helps to cut down on clatter of footsteps. Mansfield said Dad's in the tap room. Let's go look him up, and then we'll all go to our rooms. This way.
Oh, man. Will you look at the elk's heads and bear's heads and all them hides on the wall?
All trophies of Dad's hunting parties. That panther skin with the head attached over there in front of the fireplace was the last mountain lion killed in this part of the state.
I don't think I like panthers.
Here we are, right in here.
Tap room. This here's a bar.
Dad, here we are.
Well, my girl, so you made it. Bruce and I were beginning to worry.
Oh, it isn't snowing very hard yet.
A snowstorm in these mountains is nothing to take lightly, as you very well know, young woman.
Yeah. Hello, Bruce.
Yes, I was wondering whether you were going to notice.
Oh, don't be a goose. Jerry, this is my father and Bruce Garrett.
Uh-huh, and I like the looks of both.
Thank you, young woman.
You know Jerry Booker, Dad, the cutest secretary in all Hollywood.
And I think the description is most appropriate. And these two gentlemen?
Jack Packard and Doc Long. Jack, will you and Doc meet my father?
With pleasure.
You bet you. Howdy, Mr. Stark, and may I say what you got here is more like a resort hotel than a private hunting lodge.
I'm glad you like it, Mr. Long.
And this is my fiancé, Bruce Garrett.
Uh-huh.
Glad to know you, Garrett.
My pleasure, I'm sure.
We just stopped in for introductions. You'll excuse us while we go up and get shaken down?
Of course. One needs to shake out the wrinkles after the trip up from Reno.
Oh, by the way, Dad, did you call into Reno yesterday and ask for a butler?
Butler? Why should I do that with Mansfield still tottering around?
Well, one arrived with us.
A butler came up with you?
A man named Jones. Said you called an agency in Reno and asked for a butler, and here he is.
That's nonsense. Where is the man?
Mansfield looked at him as though he was something the cat had drug in and told Peel to take him to the back of the lodge.
Now, what do you suppose this is all about, Bruce?
Obviously, somebody's idea of a joke.
Fine joke. Well, I'll pay him off and send P.O. back to Sulphur Summit with him in the morning.
Not the way it's snowing. I don't think you will.
That's right. Well, Mansfield will just have to put up with him until we can get out.
Until we can get out? How long will that be?
Oh, 2 or 3 days, probably. Not more than a week, certainly.
Just a nice little midwinter vacation. Only it's a shame we're not going to be able to enjoy some of the snow sports.
Well, as long as I get a chance to chuck a handful of snow down Jerry's neck, I'll be happy.
Look it, Texas. You're courting certain death if you try anything like that on me.
Yeah, fight like a beaver, huh?
Yeah.
Well, come on, let's go clean up. Dad, you and Bruce might be thinking up some nice blood-tingling stories for us when we come down.
We'll do that very thing.
Okay, come on. I'll show you to your room.
Be seeing you in a little while.
Oh, are all the bedrooms upstairs? Whew, some hunting lodge.
Who are these people Gale's brought up here?
Now, just a minute, Bruce. This happens to be my lodge, and Gale's my daughter. She can bring anyone here she chooses.
She's my fiancée.
I don't get you. You're always so intense about everything. Relax. Enjoy yourself a little.
Do you mind telling me who those two men are?
Packard and Long are private detectives.
What?
Yes, they run the AAA One Detective Agency in Hollywood. Why does it make any difference to you?
Well, then why are they here?
Quim Gales. She and the girl Jerry Booker have been friends in Hollywood for a long time. Jerry's the detective agency's private secretary. So Gale brings him up here for the weekend.
That's all?
You know, Bruce, besides being intense, you're one of the most suspicious men I ever met.
You're a wealthy man. You should know how I feel. The prey for every confidence man and blood-sucking leech in the country, and I particularly do not like private detectives.
Oh, you'll be in your grave before you're 40 if you don't learn to control your nervous system better than this.
Just the same.
Yes, Mansfield.
I beg your pardon, sir, but there's a person in the hallway.
A person? Man? Woman?
Oh, a man, sir. He claims to have been stranded in the snowstorm and saw our lights.
Stranded up here on top of the mountains?
So he says, sir. He is asking for a night's lodging.
No man could live outside on a night like this.
So I thought, sir. Would you care to speak with him?
Yes, by all means. Send him in.
Thank you, sir. I'll fetch him.
What? What is this? A hotel?
Well, we certainly can't turn a stranger away in a storm.
You're the host, naturally.
Thank you, my boy.
Mr. A.J. Ben, that is the name, isn't it?
Yes, A.J. Ben. Mr. Stark, thank you for this hospitality. I assure you that I was desperate when I caught sight of your light.
That will do, Mansfield.
Very good, sir.
What did you say your name was?
Ben. B-E-N. The initials are A-J. A-J Ben.
I see. This is Mr. Bruce Garrett, Mr. Ben.
How do you do, sir?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah what?
Just yeah.
Well, okay.
And isn't it a little extraordinary, not to say silly, for a man with any sense in his head to get himself lost on top of a mountain in a snowstorm?
Oh, I suppose it is, to a mountaineer. Now, I'm a city man myself, and I don't know...
What's a city man doing climbing around mountains in the snow?
I don't think I like your attitude, Mr. Garrett.
Interesting, but not very informative.
You'll have to make exceptions, Mr. Ben. Mr. Garrett's had some unfortunate experiences with confidence men. He suspects all strangers.
Well, please don't put yourself out for me, Mr. Stark. If you can put me up for the night, I'll be on my way the first thing in the morning.
Ha! What's that for?
Mr. Garrett simply means that you'll never get away in the morning. We're being snowed in for several days.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Doc, put me down, you great big bum! Look out! Put me down!
Oh, you have a house party.
Yes, my daughter and her guests.
Clowns.
Oh, then I'm doubly sorry to intrude.
Nonsense. There's room for everyone in Frozen Corpse Lodge.
Put me down before I have to go and dress all over again.
Doggone, Jerry. I bet you've gained 15 pounds since last time I carried you around on my shoulder.
You dog.
Huh?
Doc, don't you know you should never tell a girl she's heavier? Right, Miss Stark?
Right.
Even if it's true.
If they find your bloodless corpse frozen stiff in some snowbank in the morning, I'm the one who did it.
Oh, Jerry.
Don't Jerry me. 15 pounds and me on a diet that would starve a hummingbird. Come on, Gale, before I do him bodily harm.
You boys ready to go down?
Not quite. We'll meet you down below in a couple of minutes.
Okay. Come on, Jerry.
Yeah.
Hey, Jerry, love me up just a little bit.
A little bit is right.
You'll pay for that 15 pounds for a long time, my boy.
Yeah, why don't I keep my big mouth shut?
Well, come on in the room for a minute. I want to talk to you.
About what?
Shut the door.
Yeah?
We've got another guest.
Huh? Oh, wait a minute, the radio's too loud. Okay. What was you saying?
I was doing a little checking up in the hall before the girls came out. Man calling himself A.J. Ben just came in. Said he was lost in the storm.
Funny last name. Ben.
Yeah. Says he was a city man and lost his way. But he didn't say what he was doing up here in the first place. And another thing. Bruce Garrett's jittery about us being here. And he's pretty upset about Ben's arrival. I'd like to know...
Ladies and gentlemen, here is a special announcement. Late this afternoon...
Turn it up!
It was announced through official channels that the greatest manhunt in the history of the nation is underway. All law enforcement agencies have taken up the chase for... Since it is definitely known that he was seen within the last few days in Reno, Nevada... Think that he may have headed for the mountains in the direction of Sulphur Summit, but the snowstorm now...
Blast that radio!
For the next 3 or 4 days... This man is a desperate criminal, and private citizens are warned that he measures if he is cornered. He is wanted for $10,000 reward.
Oh, nuts. Missed his name and what he's wanted for and everything.
Not everything. There's a $10,000 reward, and they think he was headed in this direction. What more do you want?
Hey, you mean this guy Ben?
Why not?
Huh, visitors.
Come in.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, Mansfield, come in. What is it?
If I may see you gentlemen privately, sir.
Oh, certainly. Shut the door. Well, what can we do for you?
Gentlemen, I have my duties to perform now, but later tonight, may I come to your rooms? It's a very difficult story to tell.
Story?
A bloody story, sir. A murderous story. You gentlemen are detectives, and Miss Gale needs your help so dreadfully.
Doggone right, Mr. Mansfield. You come right along.
Not Mr., if you please.
Sure, anything you say. Right, Jack?
Yes. We'll be very interested in your story.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I must be going now.
Hey!
Mansfield, what are you doing in this room?
Miss Gale,
I demand to know, what have you been telling these men?
Nothing, Miss Gale. I've told them nothing.
Well, see that you don't. Sneaking off upstairs to carry tales to the guests. What kind of butler are you?
Yes, Miss Gale.
Go on back to your work.
Yes, Miss Gale.
Well, go on, meddlesome old fool.
All he said was that you were in need of protection.
Oh, protection my eye, and don't get any funny ideas. Just remember you're my guests and not my guardian angels. Just remember that, if you please.
This has been a presentation of a lost old-time radio show by American Radio Theater. I Love a Mystery was written by Carlton E. Morris. This was Book 25, Terror at Frozen Corpse Lodge.
Here's episode 3 of Terror of Frozen Corpse Lodge.
Seven o'clock at night in Frozen Corpse Lodge, snowbound and stormbound high in the mountains somewhere on the California-Nevada line. Frozen Corpse Lodge is the private hunting retreat of J. Irving Stark, and it was his daughter Gail, personal friend of Jerry Booker, who invited Jerry and Jack and Doc up here in the mountains for a weekend. It wasn't all pleasure this trip. Three personal friends of Gail, men she had grown up with from childhood, have died tragically, each one within 24 hours after having kissed her. Each walked into a liquor store 15 minutes after midnight, pulled a gun, and was shot to death by a police shotgun squad, which had been tipped off and was hiding behind the counter. Gail insists they were not criminals, and that something sinister and deadly is being enacted, that all her friends are being made victims of some cold-blooded program. There are other indications that all is not on the up and up. A radio broadcast, partly disrupted by the blizzard, told of a manhunt in the vicinity of Reno. The listeners failed to get his name or description or what he was wanted for, but right on top of the special announcement, a man came to the door of the lodge, said he was lost in the snowstorm, that his name was A.J. Ben, and asked to spend the night. Then there was Jones, the new butler, who arrived at the lodge while Mansfield, the Stark butler for 35 years, was still hale and hearty. All he knew was that he had been sent for. And Bruce Garrett, a very rich young man, with dead black eyes and glossy black hair and milk-white skin, who is going to marry Gail. Gail says so herself, and that's strange, because she doesn't act as though she liked him much. But strangest of all was the incident of Mansfield coming to Jack and Doc's room, whispering that he would be back in the middle of the night to tell them a bloody, murderous story, and that Miss Gail must be protected at all cost. And in the midst of this, Gail Stark herself flinging open the door and denouncing the old butler and announcing that Jack and Doc were her guests and not her guardian angels. All this took place between 6 and 7 this evening, and now at 11, Jack, Gail Stark, and Bruce Garrett are before the big blaze in the trophy room.
I stepped out on the front porch a few minutes ago. The snow's already drifted up to the windowsills.
Uh-huh, and still coming down. Liable to be 5 or 6 feet of snow by morning.
I've never been snowbound before. Might be fun.
How naive.
Bruce, for the love of Mike, if you can't say something pleasant, at least keep still.
Why, my love,
Oh, because you're driving me batty with your picky, nasty little remarks. You've got a perfectly foul disposition tonight, and I don't know why you don't go to bed and let decent folk have a chance to enjoy themselves.
Oh, that from a girl who's going to marry me.
Well, I don't know whether I'm going to marry you or not.
Oh, here now.
Well, I'd certainly have to take a swig of the old hemlock before I said yes if I'd known you were made up of one part devil and two parts gloomy gush.
Must we air our family linen in front of strangers?
We're not family, yet. And I'm not at all adverse to airing our relations before Jack.
Oh, why? Is it because he's a private detective?
Well, supposing it is.
That was a very bad break on your part, Miss Stark.
Well, Bruce Garrett makes me so furious.
You'll always be entirely under his control if he can make you so angry you'll break down and tell him everything he wants to know.
I know it.
Besides, it actually isn't true, is it?
What is it?
That you're interested in Doc and me as detectives. As a matter of fact, didn't you come to our rooms and distinctly tell us that we were your guests and not your guardian angels?
Well, yes.
And now you try to pretend to your fiancé here that you have us here to do a job for you. I don't get it.
What's the matter, Gail? Can't you make up your mind whether you want to sick the police on me or not?
Well, that's a silly thing to say.
Maybe, but let me tell you something, young woman, and you too, Packard. I hate any kind of snoopers. Above all else, I don't like private detectives.
Yes, I could see that.
Well, keep away from me. If Gail has a common streak that leads her to draw her companionship from the rabble, that's her affair, but I don't want to be combing human debris out of my hair.
I'm afraid your boyfriend's in a pet, Miss Stark.
Well, where's your father, Gail?
Jay Irving? He's in the tap room with Jerry and Doc and that Mr. Ben. A.J. Ben. Well, that's a queer name, isn't it?
It seems like a likable enough person, though.
Ha!
Oh, don't pay any more attention to Bruce. We'll call him the Big Sneer of 1951. It is funny about Mr. Ben, though, isn't it? People don't just wander around on top of these mountains at this time of year unless they have a purpose.
Then he must have had a purpose.
What? He isn't dressed for hunting. He hasn't a rifle. He wasn't up here to ski or ice skate because he hasn't any equipment.
I don't know. Let's ask him when he comes in again.
You think he'll tell you?
Are you talking to me?
I'm looking at you.
I know, but a moment ago you were so pained by the close proximity of so low a creature as a private detective, I thought probably you weren't speaking to me. Answering your question, our friend Ben may not tell us the truth, but he'll tell us something, and that might be even more interesting than the truth.
Oh, here come Dad and Jerry. The game must have broken up. Hi, come on, join the circle.
Oh, there you are. I thought probably the old folks had gone to bed.
Oh, fine thing. Come on, Jay Irving. Bring your girlfriend and join us.
You all look very comfortable. What about it, Jerry? Shall I associate with the stick-in-the-mud element?
Well, why not? Maybe we can tell jokes and say funny sayings and rouse them out of their mental eclipse.
Well, you two seem to be getting along beautifully. Grab yourself chairs.
Yes, indeed. I find this young woman very invigorating.
Careful, Dad. You're up against the cutest secretary in Hollywood.
Golly, what a build-up. Think I can live up to it, Jack?
I think you'll try.
You dog.
Where's Doc and our Mr. A.J. Ben?
Oh, they'll be along. They're finishing their drinks before they join us.
Hey, Gail. Did I hear you call your father Jay Irving?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, that's cute. Why don't we all do it? No, really. May I call you Jay Irving, Mr. Stark?
I should be delighted.
Swell. Everyone call Mr. Stark Jay Irving from now on. And what's the matter with you, Puckerpuss?
What did you call me?
Puckerpuss. pickle puss, if you like that better.
Cheap.
What do you mean, cheap?
Prues.
I mean, women like you can be picked up.
I heard what you said. Get up on your feet.
Doc, take it easy.
Get up on your feet.
Oh, why, sure.
I'm going to give you the worst whaling.
Bruce!
Huh? What happened?
I hit you. What do you suppose happened?
Well, I'll be doggone.
Get up and brush yourself off, Doc. Call it a day.
I'll be doggone if I will. Once ain't twice.
Oh, you want to see if I can do it again?
Yeah.
Very well, if you...
There. See what I mean? Now get up on your feet and I'll show you how it's done twice in a row.
Bruce, get up.
I don't think he's going to be able to get up for some time.
Here, let me look at him.
Oh, golly, Doc. Some man.
No kidding, Jack. Is he hurt bad?
No. He'll just have to sleep it off, though.
He's not hurt?
No. Doc just tapped him on the button and he's out for a while. Here, give me a hand. Let's get him up on the lounge over there.
Yeah, I got his shoulders. Let's go.
Mr. Stark, will you take those pillows off? We can lay him out flat.
Certainly.
That's it. Now down with him.
Uh-huh.
There. You rest all right there.
Young man, you've got a powerful punch in that left hook.
Oh, tain't nothing much. Just a matter of self-defense, you might say. Miss Stark, I'm awful sorry it had to happen, but when a guy starts a-running down women, and especially a girl I know, why, doggone it.
Oh, don't apologize to me. Bruce Garrett had everything he got coming, and he's going to get more when he can hear what I've got to say.
Yes, ma'am. Excuse me, but why'd a nice girl like you wants to marry a two-tailed hippopotamus like that? I can't figure.
I'm afraid you better not go into my daughter's private life at the moment.
Of course not. Hadn't Otto said it. Another thing, ain't nobody said anything about this here Garrett's fighting ability. That boy's got a right than floor mule. I swear to Grandma, I was never so surprised in my life as I was when he struck out and I found myself sitting on the floor.
He's had training. Trouble with this fight was that you both underestimated the other. One punch from each and the fight was over.
Hey, careful where you step. That vase broke all over the hearth when friend Garrett went down for the count.
Oh, that's all right. We'll just brush it into the fireplace.
Does Bruce need any attention?
No, he'll come out of it. Doc and I'll take him up and put him to bed if he isn't awake by the time we want to go up.
Well, shall we all just sit down again and try to forget about it? I don't have to tell you, Jerry, how ashamed I am of what Bruce said.
Well, forget it. I've been insulted by experts, and honey, I mean insulted.
You're a sweet, generous kid.
Hey, look, can I still call you Jay Irving?
You certainly may.
Well then, Jay Irving, how about turning loose and telling us how this place got its name?
Yeah, Frozen Corpse Lodge. I've been wondering about that myself.
Well, if any of you are at all superstitious, I'd better not tell it.
I ain't superstitious. You, Jack?
I don't think so.
You, Jerry?
Me? Superstitious? I wish I had a nickel for all the ladders I've walked under.
Hey, just a minute.
Huh?
Where did you leave Ben?
Ben? Hey, that's right. He's coming in with me when this fracas started.
Everyone stay right where he is. Be right back.
That's funny. He's with me.
Well, maybe he went up to bed.
No, Mansfield hasn't shown him his room yet.
Well, he's a perfectly nice guy. Oh, there they are. Hey, where you been, fella?
I found him in the tap room.
You started to come in here with me.
That's right. But when the trouble started, I thought I'd better keep out of it.
So you went back to the bar, huh?
Yes.
Well, that was very delicate of you, not to listen in on a family matter.
Thank you.
Sit down, man.
Thank you, Mr. Stark.
Yes, I'm about to tell the company how my hunting resort happens to have the name Frozen Corpse Lodge.
Frozen Corpse Lodge?
Yes, hadn't you heard it before?
Well, I know. No, I hadn't.
Well, that's strange, Mr. Ben, because Frozen Corpse Lodge is known all over Eastern California and all through Nevada.
Yes, I'm new to this part of the country.
I see. Well, this is how it came about. I have 1,000 acres up here with this lodge approximately in the center. Each winter since the lodge was built, that's 10 years next spring... there's been found a body of a frozen man or woman on my property.
Hey, 10 years? 10 corpses.
No, 9 corpses. This is the 10th winter we're in now.
Oh, yeah.
That's a queer story.
Yes, it is, isn't it, Mr. Ben?
But how do you account for it? Where did they die? Who were they?
I think it's easily accounted for. They were all frozen to death, as the name indicates. 3 of them were my own caretakers, and 1 was one of the caretakers' wives. 1 was a forest ranger, and 2 were old desert rats looking for a lost mine. 1 was a hunter, and 1 a deputy sheriff, and last year was a girl skier.
But why on your property?
Well, of course, my caretakers and the 1 wife strayed from the lodge and either got lost or else was caught in a snowstorm. The others were apparently lost in storms, and knowing my lodge was somewhere in the vicinity, were trying to make their way here and became exhausted.
Then there was no murder or anything like that?
Well, not to my knowledge.
And they were all officially investigated, of course.
Oh, yes, of course.
So every year there's been a frozen body.
Yes. Thus we're known far and wide as Frozen Corpse Lodge.
And that means somebody's got to die this year?
Well, that's where the superstition comes in.
Well, somebody's got to die to keep up the tradition, doesn't he?
That's right.
Well, personally, I just assumed the thread was broken once and for all. I don't...
Well, I'm glad I ran onto this lodge early tonight, or I might have been this year's victim.
Yes. By the way, Mr. Ben, what were you doing up here in the great open spaces in midwinter?
Is that so unusual?
Without provisions or any apparent means of protecting yourself against the weather? Very unusual, I would say. How about it, Mr. Stark?
Sheer madness.
I see.
So what was you doing up here, Mr. Ben?
Well, now, I suppose I should give an explanation, even though it's quite personal and it's...
Oh, yes, Mansfield, what is it?
Begging your pardon, Miss Gale, but the person calling himself Jones is becoming obstreperous.
Obstreperous? Ain't that a word?
Quite so, sir. Jones continues to address himself as the new butler and is creating no little disturbance in the servants' quarters, if I may say so.
Well, what sort of a disturbance?
He demands to see the master, Miss Gale.
Oh.
He threatens to come through and present himself on his own unless I arrange a meeting. Most distressing, sir, most distressing.
Oh, very well. Bring him in.
Mr. Stark, sir, this gentleman on the lounge, isn't he feeling well?
Ain't that sweet.
I'm afraid he's, not quite himself, Mansfield. He'll be better shortly.
Doggone if Mansfield don't make me feel like I was up to my neck in the upper crust. Begging your pardon, sir. All that old knee breeches and lifted pinky hogwash.
You're wonderful, Doc. Where'd you ever find him, Jerry?
Don't look at me. I didn't find him. He just showed up, and I haven't been able to get rid of him since.
Hello there. Hello, somebody.
Huh?
That's Pio.
Pio? Oh, yeah, the caretaker.
Where is somebody? Senor Stark? Senorita?
That's queer. Why is he standing out in the hall shouting?
Something must be wrong.
Well, let's go find out.
Is everybody dead, for my goodness gracious?
Pio, what is it? What's the matter?
Oh, there is everybody, eh?
Why are you standing there with the front door open? What's the matter, man?
What is matter? I'm gonna show you what is matter. Come out on the porch.
Porch?
Si, senor, porch. There, my friend!
Pio, what is it?
This is dead man, I bet ya!
Hey!
What's that?
Dead man?
See! Another frozen corpse have come to pay us a visit, I think!
This has been a presentation of a lost old-time radio show by American Radio Theater. I Love a Mystery was written by Carlton E. Morris. This was Book 25, Terror at Frozen Corpse Lodge. Directed by Marge Lutton, assisted by Greg Porter, and produced by Joy Jackson. In our cast, you heard Cole Hornaday as Jack Packard, Renaud LaBeouf as Doc Long, with Joy Jackson as Jerry Booker, Melinda Maines as Gail Stark, Michael Mokey O'Reilly as Pio, Greg Porter as A.J. Ben and the narrator, Dan Schindler as J. Irving Stark, Kim Turner as Mansfield, and Richard Haviland as Tuffy. Thanks also to Harry Thiel and Mike Wheeler. Live sound effects by Penny Swanberg and Marilyn Wilt. Music by Kevin McLeod at Incompetech.com. Terror at Frozen Corpse Lodge was originally broadcast May 22 to June 14, 1951. I'm Pat McNally, whom you also heard as Bruce Garrett and Jones the Butler. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Ah, gee, that's all the time I've got for today. Please stop by ART's website, AmericanRadioTheater.org, for more of our podcasts. We put up a new one every month. Hey, thanks for listening. See you next time. Bye.